Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to
everybody,
the latest edition of
Armbar.
I'm Josh McCain, as with me as always, Nelson Sason,
yep.
And we're here to do your weekly recap of Monday Night Raw and SmackDown Live.
Or dead.
Yeah, this one is probably going to be a shorter show than usual because not much happened. I mean, we're at that typical 2 weeks before the pay-per-view lull where...
Nothing's really going to happen.
I think we only had one match like this week that was set for the pay-per-view, which we all saw coming last week with Rusev and Roman Reigns, but we'll get to more of that. So let's kick things off with Raw. We had Enzo versus Chris Jericho with Chris picking up the win via disqualification because he got a big boot from
Cass.
But what was hilarious was as Kevin Owens was dragging Jericho out of the ring and they were just walking off into the sunset, just the things Kevin Owens was yelling at Enzo and Cass was hilarious.
Oh, that was absolutely hilarious. I was just saying that he was starting to remind me a little bit more of Owen Hart, Edwin's character, and then he does this, and I was like, that is...
Well, that is his favorite wrestler, so it would make sense that he would emulate him somewhat, but put his own spin on it.
Yeah, that was definitely very Owen Hart-esque, especially him taking credit.
But shit, I wish I could remember what he was saying. But
it's thanks to me!
It was hilarious.
I did the most work. That's the one that got me.
It was so funny, and he's sitting there, like, basically holding Jericho up because he's knocked out from that big boot.
Yep. I'm also convinced that he's trying to grow out the Robin Hood-type facial hair. The Errol Flynn.
Oh, Jericho?
Yeah. Because I feel like that goatee part is going to start turning into a little point at some point.
Yeah, and then that was just hilarious. Did they make a tag match between the four of those guys for the...
I don't know if that's official yet.
Yeah, it's going to happen regardless, and I can't wait to see it. And honestly, if Owens isn't going to be going after a mid-card belt right now, I want to see him with Chris Jericho.
Oh, yeah.
Because this is just cracking me up. It's fantastic. And then after that hilarity, we should mention that was a good match between Enzo and Jericho, too. It was fun to watch.
Oh, yeah.
But the ending was the best part. Was by far the best part. Then Braun Strowman had another squash match, which I don't know. I'm starting to tire of. I mean, people are enjoying it. Like a lot of the smarks are enjoying it, but I'm starting to tire of it. I wanted to see, like, yes, it makes him look like a monster, especially when he literally threw that guy out of the ring.
Oh yeah,
he just flung him like a rag doll. Yes, that makes him look like a strong monster, but you know what make him look like a bigger monster? Feeding someone who's like an established star to him, who's not currently in a feud.
Like a Sin Cara.
No, not even a Sin Cara, because that's not an established person. But since they're not doing anything, Del Rio's on SmackDown.
I mean, you could start off with a Sin Cara.
Yeah.
You throw him another level up above that.
Or maybe since Rhino beat up on Heath Slater this past week on SmackDown, maybe Heath Slater to get a contract for Raw has to face Braun Strowman.
Oh, that'd be kind of funny. But you know what, since you brought that up... I saw an article the other day where they were talking about essentially the return of jobbers in a sense, because you got Braun Strowman going against local talent, same with Nia Jax and American Alpha. And I didn't even realize that till I read that article that they were facing jobbers again. It's just really odd.
See, it's a double-edged sword. Like, I get it, because then you make someone look strong, but you don't make another person on the regular roster look weak.
Yeah.
And that makes sense. Especially for, like, a squash match. I've never really particularly cared for squash matches on the regular talent, because it doesn't help build up a character.
Yeah.
And plus, like, you never know when a guy's going to get a chance and look really strong, like Dolph Ziggler right now on SmackDown.
Mm-hmm.
The crowd is behind Ziggler 1,000%.
Yeah.
Like, they are hot for Ziggler. So, you know, but at the same time, you can only squash so many jobbers before I'm like...
Oh, yeah.
Beat somebody for real.
Yeah, I'm hoping they get to that soon. Like, as soon as possible, in all honesty. I'd like to see someone more of a name. You know, like I said, start with a Sin Cara. He's like... Show us that he's actually climbing up to regular superstars when he's doing these squash matches.
You know, it'd be a good opponent for him.
Who?
To help build him up? Goldberg.
That would be... I actually thought of that.
Have him feud with Goldberg whenever they bring Goldberg in.
Oh, yeah. That would be... That'd be definitely something to see. I mean, that's essentially kind of what they wanted to do with Brock Lesnar a couple years ago, but Braun Strowman at that point was too green. He was way... Like, he just premiered, like, maybe a couple months before WrestleMania.
Yeah. Then we had Seth come out and cut a promo on Finn Balor, which it was actually a pretty weak... Well, to me, at least, it was a weak promo cut by Seth Rollins. I started tuning out.
Mm.
Like, and I don't normally do that for Seth Rollins, but yeah. I was just kind of like... And this is the problem with the week, the 2 weeks before Raw and SmackDown before pay-per-view. There's not much change. Not much can be done.
Yeah.
Next week should be a better go home Raw. Excuse me, but this week's was really weak, and Seth didn't hold my attention. So we'll just skip on past that.
Hmm.
Cesaro and Sheamus were fighting to see who would fight Rusev for the U.S. title. Which, I don't know what they're doing with Cesaro. It looked like he was getting a big push, but now they're just spinning their wheels with him. Because, yeah, he got the match, but he didn't win the belt because we know the belt's going on the line against Roman Reigns at the pay-per-view. Mm. So it's just, I don't know what they're doing with Cesaro right now. They're just spinning really their wheels with him. I think he would have been a better person to go against Rusev than Reigns. But... Reigns really entertained me in that spot with the wedding of Rusev and
Yeah,
Lana.
There were moments he was trying.
Stop hating. He was good in that spot. You can't always hate on Roman Reigns. I know you want to, because I know you hate Khal Drogo from Game of Thrones, and he looks like him, and you hate on... Oh, wait,
you're,
that's me.
Yeah, I was like, you were projecting like a mofo. You got sour cream on your face.
Anyway. And that's not a euphemism. I'm eating a loaded potato griller from our new sponsor, Taco Bell.
They're not really...
Run for the border.
Because they're going to sue us.
Yo quiero Taco Bell.
That dog is dead. You know that, right?
No, I was doing an impression of Alberto Del Rio.
Oh, really?
What? Are you saying Alberto Del Rio does not enjoy the fine, fine food of Taco Bell?
He probably doesn't.
Bullshit. He's Mexican.
Okay. Let's carry on now.
What? What'd I say? What did I say?
Oh, goodness.
By the way, if you enjoyed that ridiculousness, tune in for our podcast on YouTube next week. I am going to go off on so many tangents and rants. You're probably going to be playing most of the video game because I've got a lot of shit to say this week. But that's not for now because this is the wrestling pay-per-view.
Pay-per-view?
Yep, we're podcast. Pay-per-view now.
Oh, Jeebus.
Sign up for our Patreon and you'll get shit because we don't actually have a Patreon
making
yet.
Making up shit that hasn't been made yet.
No, dude. I'm good.
Oh, my God. All right. What's next?
Neville single-handedly defeating the Dudley Boys.
Did that happen? I tuned out a bit.
No, he teamed up with Sin Cara, but I don't recognize Sin Cara. Because fuck Sin Cara.
That's not even Sin Cara.
He doesn't like Taco Bell.
He doesn't like being Sin Cara.
Because we don't like him. Lucha! Lucha!
That's
lucha.
Sad to me. Like, oh, we're going to make you still have the Lucha Dragons theme song now.
That's
that you're
it's catchy.
Up. What's his face have?
I think so.
Because I don't think I've seen him wrestle since the brand.
I've seen him wrestle, but I don't think we've seen him actually come out. I think he's always been in the ring.
Oh.
Since the brand extension. And then we covered the Red Wedding, and Roman Reigns being very entertaining, and you just being a stubborn, crotchety old man, hating on Roman Reigns.
You
Why
know,
you be hating?
You cut me off when I was actually not going to be hating.
Why you be hating?
Because I don't like
All Roman Reigns. Wants to do is entertain you.
No one likes him, Booster. No one likes
you,
Booster.
He wants you to love him. That's all he wants.
No, he doesn't.
That's all that man wants out of life.
No, it's not.
It's for Nelson Sasson to love him.
He doesn't know who I am.
And Sasha Banks gets the stupidest backstage award for me this week. And that might be a thing. I might have to do that. Dumbest backstage interview. When she's telling Foley, I want Dana Brooke out at ring for a handicap match at SummerSlam. Why would you want that when you're the champion? That makes it highly unlikely you're going to retain.
Yeah.
And then Mick, whenever Mick Foley is the voice of reason, she might have gotten to her Uncle Snoop Dogg's ganj. Because Mick was like, well, how about you just have a match with Dana Brooke tonight, and if you win, she's banned from ringside. And if you lose, then it's a handicap match. That made more sense. Thank you, Mick. And Sasha would just be like, I want a handicap match. Why would you request that ever?
I can't even really fathom that. I
more
actually,
guts than brains, as JR would say.
Yep. I completely tuned out on that segment, too. It was not a good night for Raw for me.
Nah, same here.
It was hard to watch a little bit, just because it was... It's not even because of anything they were really doing. It's just, like you said, it's that period where it's just like a lull. Nothing's going to change much because of the pay-per-view.
I was out of it Monday. I was too busy thinking about No Man's Sky. It's like, oh, I can't wait to play you. Oh, Spooge.
Okay, enough of that.
But, yeah, so Sasha went over on Dana Brooks, so Dana Brooks banned from ringside, which hopefully means Sasha retains.
Hopefully.
And that match I missed because I went to bed. Kofi lost to Luke Gallows. And that furthers on their feud, which I don't know if the club's going to win the belts at SummerSlam. They're definitely going to take the belts off of the New Day. Because I think the New Day is ripe for a breakup. And which is fine by me, because they've been together for, what, 2 years now?
Almost, yeah.
And they've been damn near entertained for that entire 2 years. But it's time for them to break up. You can't have stables last too long. You got to find the perfect time to break them up. Yeah. Kind of what they did with The Shield, which we'll touch on when we talk about Stone Cold's podcast with Dean Ambrose.
Yeah. Oh, did you go back and watch that?
Yeah, I did. Did you watch it?
I did watch it. Okay. We'll get to that. Right. I have some thoughts.
So do I. And then Rusev, like we mentioned before, beat Cesaro. We all knew that was going to happen.
Yeah.
And that was it. Daniel Bryan came out with Foley, and they're like, oh, we're not going to interfere with you. We're not going to interfere with you. Blah, 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 blah. But yeah, that's how Raw went. It's very mediocre. Like, the only parts that really entertained me was the Jericho Kevin Owens stuff with Enzo and Cass. They need a name. I don't like calling them Enzo and Cass. They need a name. We're going to call them the Brooklyn Brawlers. But yeah, that was it.
Yeah, it was not a. It's not the most memorable Monday Night Raw. Doesn't really do much for me. It's unfortunate, but you know, it is what it is.
So before we get into SmackDown, the picture on WWE.com is of Dolph and Ambrose, but there's a sign in the crowd that says "Give Dolph Diesel." That would be awesome. But no, after they break up New Day, send Big E down to SmackDown. I want to see more Big E and Dolph.
That would be entertaining if they were actually able to be themselves. But you know. I don't know how that works.
I don't know. Give him a female valet so Big E can smack her in the boob again. But no, the best social media ever from the WWE was Dolph, Big E, and AJ. That was just hilarity. Because I'd wake up in the morning, check Twitter, what have you missed? And I would see like a bunch of tweets from AJ, Dolph, and Big E from like their travels overnight.
Yeah.
Just being asinine. And it was fucking great. I missed that. So, did I miss the beginning of SmackDown? Because I don't remember, like...
I think we was on Tuesday.
No, that wasn't football. Oh, no, we got caught up in No Man's Sky.
Yeah, that's what.
Because the whole Dolph getting jumped by the Wyatts and Dean coming to help him out, and then him accidentally super kicking Dean. Dean, you don't help out the guy who you're facing at SummerSlam. Don't you want him at less than 100%? I would.
Yeah, I would, too. Whatever.
Eddie Guerrero looking down from heaven, not smiling. He's like, no, Dean! Let him get the shit kicked out of him.
Grimace.
Yeah. Oh, I like this. American Alpha defeats local competitors.
You know...
They don't even give them a name on WWE.com.
That segment, you know, the tail end of that match was saved by the little segment where they had all the tag teams come and try to jump American Alpha. That almost completely makes up for the fact that they took on jobbers, like I said earlier. Because they did clear out, like, three or four other teams. I can't remember how many teams went out there.
Yeah, and here's where I have to defer to our colleagues over at Going In Raw, Steven Larson, on Machinima, where they both agree that the Revival should have been called up and not American Alpha. And I kind of agree with them too. Like, I like American Alpha. I don't want to say that, but I feel the Revival's more polished. Like, American Alpha is missing something. And I feel American Alpha would have benefited if they were the World's Greatest Tag Team Part 2.
Yeah.
If the WWE just waited to bring them up after Kurt Angle was signed.
Oh, yeah. I'd have to agree with you on that one. Because, yeah, I like American Alpha. And I do feel like there is something missing with them. I did like the segment where they had them clear the ring. Because it did make them look strong. Granted, the teams consisted of, like, guys like The Ascension. So, on one hand, it does make you look strong, but on the other hand, against guys like The Ascension. So, it take that for what you will.
Yeah, but I mean, it's like they've got everything in the ring, and they were big in NXT. Like, the NXT crowd loves them.
Oh, yeah.
But in the NXT, they didn't have to talk as much as the tag team. And I think that's what's lacking is they don't promote themselves outside of the ring.
Mm-hmm.
And in pro wrestling, you need to be able to do that. I mean, this isn't boxing. This isn't the UFC where you let your ring work do the talking for you, because very few people get over in this industry just by their in-ring skills. Like, just off the top of my head right now, the only person I can think of who had zero personality but got over was Chris Benoit.
Yeah.
I mean, you'll have flash in the pans from time to time, like the Ultimate Warrior and Goldberg, who don't really do anything as far as promos go. They just yell and scream into the mic, but they're so explosive in the ring that you can't help but be entertained by them. Like, they're not very good technical or anything like that, but they're like the Warrior, just running down the ring, shaking ropes, just running over people.
Would you include Brock Lesnar in that grouping?
No, because he has Heyman, so he doesn't need to talk.
True, but for the few times that he's not had Heyman, he kind of did fall in that category.
But he's a monster who, it's like, and when it comes to wrestling, like when you see someone who's a monster, like someone like a Bill Goldberg, he's a tough dude.
Mm.
But I wouldn't be afraid to run into a Bill Goldberg. Yeah, he'd probably kick my ass, but I wouldn't be afraid to run into him in a back alley in a fight.
Mm.
I'd be afraid to run into Brock Lesnar at a church in front of hundreds of witnesses. Under the witness of God and Christ, I'd be afraid to run into Brock Lesnar. So there's a difference there. Like, Brock Lesnar, he is just a guy who I would not want to see in real life.
Mm.
Like, not even as a fan. I don't want to run into him at an airport. I don't want to run into Brock. I want to stay as far away from Brock Lesnar as humanly possible.
I just imagined you, like, turning around and being startled that Brock Lesnar was there.
Can I help you, Mr. Lesnar?
I feel like it would be a start of your life.
Yeah. Like, again, like, you know me, I'm not one of these starstruck people. Like, I don't, like, if I see a celebrity, I'm probably not going to bother them. Exceptions being, like, if we were, like, at the, like, when I'm flying out to Japan, if I run to, like, Shawn Michaels at the airport, I'm going to have to say hi. Or, like, Stone Cold Steve Austin. But for the most part, I'm going to leave them alone, especially wrestlers, because, you know.
They get that all the time.
Yeah, never want to fucking run into Brock Lesnar anywhere. Never.
You know, it's funny, going back...
I don't even want to interview him for the podcast.
No, we
get a call from the WWE. Hey, Josh Nelson, would you guys like to interview Brock Lesnar? I'll pass. What's Heath Slater up to? He does not strike fear into me at all.
You know, speaking of getting recognized at the airport, did you know that Bill Goldberg always gets mistaken? Like, always gets mistaken for Stone Cold. Yeah.
Yeah, weren't they talking about that on Stone Cold's podcast?
That was funny to me. I was actually surprised that he still gets it.
Well, I think it's because it's probably not from wrestling fans. It's people who know about wrestling, and because they were at the same era, so and they both have the same look, bald goatee.
Oh yeah. So they do have let's face it,
Stone Cold's a bigger name, so you see that you're gonna think Stone Cold.
Yeah.
But yeah, and then Ava Marie continues her trolling of the fans, which is just. This is the most brilliant thing they're doing right now. She had a wardrobe malfunction.
I feel like you're the only one on the internet that likes that. Like, I'm indifferent of that. I'm like, really?
Brilliant. It's what they kind of should be doing with Roman Reigns. Like, you know everyone hates her.
Mm-hmm.
So just make them hate her more. She has the overindulgent announcer for her... entrance.
Is that an actual announcer?
No, but I mean,
okay. but it's
voiceover, okay. Narrator,
all right.
Whatever you want to call it. So, I mean, that already just gets under the fans' craw, and they hate her for just lack of talent. And it's brilliant. It is so brilliant because it just makes the boos even louder. And let's face it, both Owen Hart and Triple H, pre-Attitude Era, when it was the New Era or whatever, because still when he was Hunter Hearst Helmsley, both of them...
Oh, the New Generation.
Yeah. Both of them took pride in how much the fans would boo them. Like, someone asked Triple H in an interview, was like, do you get bothered by the boos? Like, no, the louder they're booing me, I know I'm doing my job right. And he's like, and if they're booing me loud, I'm going to take extra time on my little curtsy bow and stuff like that. And so
that's the way to do it.
Though. Yeah, exactly. Like, if they're going to hate you, make them hate you with all of their heart, which is, again, like I said, Roman Reigns' little thing with Rusev has been entertaining. But if they would have just steered into the swerve with Roman Reigns, he'd be over as a heel. He'd probably be Raw's top heel. He'd eclipse Seth Rollins. Yeah. But they didn't do that. But they're doing with Ava Marie, and I think it's brilliant.
Yeah, they're doing what they should be doing with Roman Reigns and Ava Marie. I didn't even think about it that way.
Yeah, it's just interesting, like, you know, the fans hate this person, and they're going to boo no matter what. Make them boo. Give them more reason to boo.
Though, of course, I never really knew why she got... so much hate.
Same here. Yeah, I felt so bad for her at WWE WrestleMania Access because NXT had matches going on, and she was one of the matches. I think she was against Asuka, and just people were just relentlessly booing Ava Marie, and I was just like, why do they hate her so much?
Why is she getting so hated?
Like, I miss that train. I have no idea. Like, granted, she's nothing to write home about in the ring, but, I mean, she's trying, like, she's no better or worse than the Bellas.
True. That's actually very true.
And I damn say she's better looking than the Bellas.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure the hate, but damn, if the WWE not embraced that, I love it. And then Randy Orton beat Alberto Del Rio via disqualification. Which is an okay match. Again, Alberto Del Rio looks like one of those guys who they're spinning their wheels with. They're not sure quite what they want to do with him.
Yeah.
He should be in the IC title picture instead of The Miz. I'll say that.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And then Rhino beat... I really thought Heath Slater was going to win. I really did. I thought this was his week.
Did you think, or were you just hoping?
No, I thought they were going to give him the win.
Though, I love how in the little pre-show segment with those two... where Heath Slater was trying to get Rhino to just, like, throw the match. He's like, I'm sorry, my constituents wouldn't approve. I was like, what?
I've got 13 kids.
All I can think is, does the audience really care? It's a weird topical side point that it just didn't fit right.
It was pretty good. I hope that once Heath Slater gets on the show, and I hope it's SmackDown.
Yeah.
I think it'd be better for him to be on SmackDown. They give him a run at the IC title.
Oh, yeah.
He deserves it. He's fantastic on the mic. He's good in the ring. And like you said, it was just he had a bad luck getting injured in the middle of his push.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So, all right, moving on. We had Carmella defeat Natalie. I give two shits about this because Carmella is just nails on a chalkboard irritating to me. And Natalie... Baron Corbin attacked Kalisto.
That picture looks like he's trying to kiss him.
It does.
It's really creepy. It
looks like a sexual assault. Then Dean Ambrose and Dolph Ziggler took on and beat the Wyatts. I'm just going to call them the Wyatts.
I mean, that's what they called them.
Yeah. So.
And actually, on the Stone Cold podcast, he just had Braun Strowman. He kind of said, he kind of alluded that the Hurt Wyatt is actually also on SmackDown too, which I didn't, he wasn't drafted or anything. Yeah. So we didn't know that. And the fact that they call him the Wyatt family, I guess they're expecting him to return, and they're just going to throw him right back in with the Wyatts.
Probably. Which, I want to see the Wyatts get a really good go. Like, they've always been on the cusp of getting a good go. Like, when they recruited Daniel Bryan, even though that was all a ruse, that's what the Wyatts need to do. Like I've said 1,000 times, it needs to be more like the Flock. It needs to be, like, just the charisma of Bray Wyatt, like the charisma of Raven, just attracts people to them.
Yeah.
Maybe Heath Slater. That's how he gets on SmackDown. I don't know. But just have them do something like that where he's recruiting people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that would do wonders for the Wyatt family. Give them more mystique and give them more dominance. Like, make them a threat to take over SmackDown for some reason. Like, make them kind of like a hybrid of the NWO, Nexus, and the Flock.
Mm-hmm.
Something like where they are to be feared by everyone on the roster. like, the champion should fear Bray. The IC title should fear, doesn't matter, pick one of the other two. You know, they're, give them the tag belts when we get tag belts. Like, have American Alpha feel the, fear the other two. You know,
actually, I think that would be a really good feud for them. For all four of them, actually.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm breaking this Lego thing of yours.
That's all right. I took it off of something else anyway.
Yeah, so, yeah, just give them, make them a force to be reckoned with. And not feared by, like, one person. Like, don't have them just go after one person. Maybe start that way. But have them, like, whatever, to, like, tag team division, the main card. Because Bray Wyatt's the top heel right now on SmackDown. Have Bray threaten the champion. Have the other two Wyatts threaten the tag belts. Give them a third member, another member, a fourth member to threaten the IC title. Like, have everyone afraid of the Wyatts at all levels of the WWE on SmackDown. So that wraps it up for SmackDown this week, and this is where we normally end the show. But we have the Stone Cold podcast to talk about.
Yes.
So you had some things to say.
What in the world? You know, I've never... Well, I've heard that Dean Ambrose is not so much a character as that's just how he is. And I never really saw what... Or thought what that would be like in real life, or at least in a situation that's like an interview. He took way too many pauses, and it was really weird to me. And he kept trailing off. Did you notice that?
He would trail off, but also, I don't know, were you watching the video or were you listening to it?
I was kind of listening to it.
Okay, they were, it wasn't so much that
I
was
I had it on, but I was
It wasn't so much that he was trailing off, they were bleeping out a lot what he was saying.
Oh.
So, yeah, because I thought there was something wrong with the audio because I was listening.
Yeah.
And so I'd go click back on the WWE Network because I was working and listening to it, and I would rewind, and I was like, oh, no, they're bleeping out whatever the fuck he's saying.
No wonder that made no sense, because I had it on the TV, but, you know, I fall asleep with the sleep timer. So I didn't realize that's what was happening.
Yeah, so where you think he was trailing off, chances are he was cursing.
So, aha!
And they were bleeping it. They weren't bleeping it out. They were just
because it made it also made Stone Cold look like he was just getting angry with him too. I don't know if that was a thing, but
no, I think Stone Cold got frustrated a couple times in the interview because I think Dean was misunderstanding what Stone Cold was asking, and Stone Cold's like, how the fuck do I say this so he understands? But also, it seemed like to me that Stone Cold was playing Dr. Phil at the very beginning, trying to get Dean to talk about his family.
Yeah, he did. That seemed odd.
It seemed odd, and it seemed like it was irritating Dean.
Like Dean,
There was a very hostile environment. Like, I felt they got along for the most part of the interview.
Well, from what I hear, they normally do whenever he's up there.
But a couple times, it felt pretty hostile. My favorite part, though, was when Stone Cold asked him a question. I can't remember what it was. And Dean was like, no, that's not true at all. Where are you getting your info?
I think it was about him working as a
health instructor or some shit like that. Like, working at a gym or something like that. Yeah. Like, giving up wrestling to go do that. He's like, no, I never gave up. It was just that I was doing this to pay the bills kind of thing, so.
Yeah, I remember that part, and I was like, what the hell just happened?
Yeah. But overall, it was a pretty cool interview. I loved how he shot on Brock Lesnar. How he was like, I had this idea for just this great match. Because that match, I think... just judging the buzz outside of AT&T Stadium at WrestleMania and at WrestleMania Access, the two matches everyone was hot for going in was the Undertaker-Shane match.
Yeah.
Because that was a match we truly didn't know what was going to happen. Like, we were pretty sure the Undertaker was going over, but since he had lost and we felt Shane was going to be doing more than just, you know, those 4 weeks, we thought Shane could win and get control of Raw, which it ended up not mattering because Shane has control of SmackDown. It was basically controlling Raw, so that was just a wash. It was a match that Shane didn't have to do, apparently.
Yeah.
And then the other one was...
It was a troll.
And the other one was the Brock... the Brock-Dean Ambrose match, because everybody thought, like, it was going to be, like, Mankind versus The Undertaker, Hell in the Cell. Like, one of those where it was, like, Mick Foley facing the odds kind of matches where he just... was going to use every weapon at his disposal to beat the crap out of his opponent. When it didn't really happen, he just took a bunch of suplexes. The only weapons he used was a chair. And, you know, we were later to find out that Brock was going to do, you know, UFC 200, which is why they didn't really have a match. But, yeah, like Dean was saying, like, he had, like, all these grand ideas for a match. Yeah. He just keep getting shot down. And I love how he kind of called Brock out on it.
Mm.
And it was just kind of like, wrestling's entertainment. Pro wrestling is entertainment. We want to be entertained. And it wasn't so much an entertaining match. Like,
Yeah.
Brock just doing a bunch of suplexes when he first came back to people was entertaining, just tearing through people. But that gets old, just kind of like the Goldberg thing got old. You know?
Yeah, definitely.
Punch, punch, kick, spear, jackhammer. And that got boring quickly.
And then it got stupid, you know, cattle prod.
Yeah,
so. Magical sledgehammer out of Triple H's tights.
So I'm hoping, you know, getting a little off topic, I'm hoping the Randy Orton Brock Lesnar match is more a traditional wrestling match.
I hope so.
And I hope Orton goes over. How often do I say that? I hope Orton goes over.
That's like slim to never. Yeah. I think the last time I heard you say that, you were hoping that he'd win against Mick Foley in that hardcore match back in Evolution.
That was a brilliant match. But no, and I have nothing against Randy Orton. It's just he usually faces people I'd rather see beat him than him going over.
That's fairly true.
But no, so I enjoyed that. I did notice how he... I feel like maybe there was like Vince or somebody off camera directing things. Because it felt like when he was talking about the Shield and stuff like that, he was about to kind of go into the whole thing how Punk didn't want Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
And that Triple H and Vince forced Roman Reigns into the Shield when Punk wanted somebody else. It felt like he was about to go. I thought he was about to go there.
Yeah, I thought he... I thought
and
he
then he didn't.
Something. Yeah.
But I think it's also because he's become friends with Roman. You know,
You don't want to...
And they definitely seemed like friends in the ride-along episode. So I don't think he was going to bury him, but it seemed like he was about to go there. Mm. And then someone off camera was like, no, don't do that. So he didn't. But if you also notice that he talked more about him and Seth than he talked about him and Roman.
I did notice that as well. I thought that was interesting that it came about that way.
Yeah, and I like how he likes doing unscripted promos. And I feel he's probably gotten to that point now to where almost like the CM Punk thing, they hand him a script, he looks at it, just throws it away.
Oh, yeah.
I feel he probably does that. He didn't say he did it, but I bet you he does that.
I'm sure a bunch of them got left on like a locker room bench or something, or just flat out on the floor.
But he also said, I can't memorize lines. Like, if you just let me talk, I'll talk for hours, but I can't memorize three sentences.
Yeah.
So, but it was a pretty fun one. I do like Stone Cold doing these better than Foley or Jericho, because both Foley and Jericho kind of toe the company line, where Stone Cold is Stone Cold, and he knows he doesn't need the WWE. The WWE needs him.
Yeah.
Kind of thing for these. So Stone Cold kind of asks the questions he wants.
Though he does try to keep it a little...
Yeah, it's not...
More reserved than his regular
podcast. It's not like his regular podcast, but he'll ask questions that nobody else would have the balls to ask.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So that's always nice about Stone Cold's podcast when he does it for the WWE as opposed. And I love Chris Jericho, and I like Jericho's podcast as well. But when he does it for the WWE, he's still employed by the WWE. He toes the company line, and Mick Foley has always been a shrill for the company line because Mick is just happy to be there. And there's nothing against that because if I wrestled in the WWE, I wouldn't give a crap. I could lose every week. I'd just be happy to be there. So I won't begrudge anybody that. But anyways, that's the podcast. Nothing, unless you want to bring up anything else from the Stone Cold podcast. I can't really think of anything.
Not really, though. It's weird listening to Braun Strowman talk like a normal person.
I'll have to check that one
out.
I meant more of the Dean Ambrose one.
Oh, the Dean Ambrose one.
Because we're not going to plug too many other podcasts on this podcast.
Yeah, I mean... I feel like I have to go back and rewatch it since I didn't realize they were bleeping.
Yeah, they were bleeping Ambrose. Stuff.
Though, if you hadn't heard, Shelton Benjamin won't be coming back to WWE anytime soon. He apparently has to go in for surgery for shoulder stuff. I think a rotator cuff thing.
Oh, that's never
so
good.
It's never good. So he's definitely got to be postponed for a while, which is unfortunate, because I was looking forward to seeing him wrestle again.
But that's all right. I think right now Raw and SmackDown are trying to hit their strides. So I think focusing on the talent they have now instead of bringing in legends is good for it right now. Bring in legends. I think the time to bring in the legends at this point now, since they haven't done it in the first couple weeks, is to wait till it starts to grow stale, till they kind of run out of ideas and they need a shot in the arm.
Mm.
Wait for that.
Or just spread them out.
Actually. Yeah, like wait till you lose momentum, and then when you need to gain some momentum back, then bring somebody in, and that will give a little shot in the arm. So we're going to end there. This will be up Friday morning. And then Friday night, we'll be filming our podcast over on YouTube, Clash of the Nerds.
Yep.
Which both this podcast and that podcast are up at clashofthenerds.com. But definitely tune, if you don't normally tune into our YouTube podcast, you're going to be really entertained by this one because I've got a lot to say tomorrow night.
Oh, jeez.
It is going to be good. I'm going to go off tangents. We're going to just leave you a preview. We're going to talk about the shitty service DirecTV gives now that AT&T owns them. That pissed me off earlier in the week.
Oh, I haven't heard about that.
Going to go on a little rant about Suicide Squad and, some other things. Definitely going to be... We don't have a lot on the docket, Nelson, because I know what I'm talking about on the docket. I'm going to go on for a while.
Should be interesting.
It's definitely going to be a lively
one. Be just as surprised as the fans.
Yep. So, on that note, good night, Japan. I'm Josh McCain for Nelson Stason. Watch wrestling.
Yep.